Ecclesiastes chapter 1. The words of the teacher, son of David, king in Jerusalem. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless, everything meaningless. What do people gain from all their labors of which they toil under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun sets, and hurries back to where it rises. The wind blows to the south and turns to the north, and round it goes, ever returning on its course. All streams flow into the sea, yet the sea is never full. To the place the streams come from, there they return again. All things are wearisome, more than one can say. The eye never has enough of seeing, nor the ear is full of hearing. What has been will be again, but has been done will be done again. There's nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one can say, look, this is something new? It was here already, long ago. It was here before our time. No one remembers the former generations, and even those yet to come will not be remembered by those who follow them. I, the teacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem. I applied my mind to study and to explore by wisdom all that is done under the heavens. What a heavy burden God has laid on mankind. I have seen all the things that are done under the sun. All of them are meaningless, a chasing after the wind. What is crooked cannot be straightened. What is lacking cannot be counted. I said to myself, look, I have increased in wisdom more than anyone who has ruled over Jerusalem before me. I experienced much of wisdom and knowledge. And then I applied myself to the understanding of wisdom, and also of madness and folly. But I learned that this, too, is a chasing after the wind. For with much wisdom comes much sorrow. The more knowledge, the more grief. Encouraging chapter, Bryn, Ben, that you've chosen for tonight.
How in blue blazes are you? Just ducky. What does ducky mean? Oh, that's what it is. Man, I'm just happy to be here with you guys tonight. At my age, I'm happy to be anywhere. There. Now all I got to do is get rid of this here. All right. I want to make sure. All right. Okay, we only have 7 hours and 30 minutes to get through this, so. Wasn't that just a fantastic piece of scripture? Oh, man. Thank you so much, the committee, the Cochrane Central Committee, for letting me come back and be with you guys again tonight. It's kind of feeling like a home church already. And I really, really enjoy. I love that two-hour trip down, especially this time of year. It's just some kind of purdy. And on the way back, I think it'll be fairly dark, so I think I'll put it on autopilot. And then I think I can crawl in the back seat of the truck and have a snooze. I'm sure I'll wake up when I get home. Home. Remember the last time I was here? Some of you may have been here. I was telling you a story about, it wasn't a dream, but it was, I woke up really angry. And I wanted to carry on with that because while I'm not really what you would call a preacher, because I don't do this for a living, but when I'm asked, the only thing I can do is just relay to you what God's been teaching me, and I think that's really what we're here for. We're not here in church just to get everything we can out of it. We're actually here, maybe you didn't realize that, but you're actually here to be an encouragement to the next guy. I think that's what a mature Christian will realize that finally after clunk, after a million years of doing this. So that incredibly positive, uplifting, and intensely hopeful chapter of Ecclesiastes. Actually, the whole book is that way. And I did a study on that one time, and it was really quite fascinating. But it kind of shows us a real conundrum. You know, I mean, if life is meaningless, the Message calls it all smoke. Also says it's a corkscrew that can't be straightened and a minus that won't add up. That's life. We're here, and then we die. So what's the use of living? And what was behind... This was written by Solomon, as far as everyone can tell. And this is a guy who asked God for wisdom. And God gave it so flippin' much to him that people from all over the known world at that time were coming to him. And is this just, you know, a guy who's got to be a geezer, almost as old as D? And it was another D I was thinking of. I don't know how I got here tonight, but I got an idea how I'm getting out of here. But is this the ramblings of an old guy who has just seen so much of everything that he finally says, this is crap? What's even the meaning of being down here? I don't think so. I believe this, he has a whole lot more deeper things to actually say, and I want to touch on them tonight and then leave you with that and go na 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 na. See, our present time is no better than what was bugging him back in those days. I mean, we've got crime in rates that we have not seen, I think, any of us in our generations. We got perversion of justice and morals, the likes of what we haven't, we couldn't even really dream that things would go that fast. I mean, usually when something goes downhill in society, it kind of goes on about a 10 or 20 degree angle, and it takes several generations before what was not accepted is now fully accepted. But I mean, this, I'm watching stuff go straight down, like them lemmings jumping off of whatever they jump off of because of, I don't know why they jump off of those things. We got more division probably than we've ever seen in our lifetime before, and that's just within the last several years. We got corruption at the highest levels of government, corporations, and the education system. I mean, I went to Mexico one time for just a little trip with the family, and I couldn't believe the corruption down there. Our pastor was, we went with a mission trip. Oh, that was the second time I've been there. We went on a mission trip, and we rented a car. And we had to take the car back to the rental, so I jumped in with him, and we just headed down there. And you have to make a turn around like this for something, I can't remember, but it's a little different than what we do. But we was following, I wasn't driving, my pastor was. He was following the rules. He went like this, and there's a cop car on the other side. So he pulls us over. Hey, amigo. We're all his friends, you know. And he says, I can't remember what he dinged us with, but it was... He wanted 80 pesos. My pastor, and so he wanted to get paid right there. So my pastor made a mistake, a fatal mistake. He pulled out of his pocket a wad of bills, paid off 80, and the cop says, no, amigo, I said 800. So, yeah. But we thought, well, that's the kind of corruption that's just in them other places. No, it's in our flipping backyard. Wars and rumors of wars, all that kind of stuff. So what in the world are we supposed to do with life? Grit our teeth and just say, like it was here, what was that song? When we all get to heaven, or this world is not my home. I love how the Holy Spirit puts stuff together. I never told these folks what I was speaking on. And Dorothy, you mentioned that, you know, life is just so crazy here. Let's get our eyes back on where it should be. That was my whole point here tonight. You preached for me. I'm calling this In Focus. But, you know, are you supposed to just grit our teeth and pine for heaven and hope for a quick death? See, and last time I was here, I mentioned a talk I had with the Lord. And I was really PO'd. I was mad at everything. Mad at life. Mad at people. Mad at... And I said, okay, I'm mad at you too. I said, how in the world am I supposed to pray in days like this? This is going to happen. We're going to have one world government. They're going to come in. They're going to work Christians over and kill them and all this kind of stuff. Oh, come on. I don't want to... What am I supposed to do with that? And he said, well, that's easy. He might as well have spoke out loud, because that's how intense, how real it was in my spirit. Because I can't think that fast. I can't think that good. I mean, this was that quick, and all these 3 points. He says, the first point, pray for the lies to be exposed. He says, that's always in my will. Oh, that's great. I can do that. He says, but wait, there's more. He says, pray for my truth to be revealed in its place. I thought, okay, we're getting somewhere now. I'm starting to not be so mad anymore. And he says, and the last thing, he says, remember that verse that everybody knows. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. This is Christians. This is not the whole country. If the whole country turns to me, then okay, then I'll heal them. No, it's just my people. Us. If we get on our face, turn from whatever wicked ways we got going, you know what that is. I know what that is. Get rid of that. Turn away from that. Repent. He says, you do 3 things, I'll do 3 things. He says, I will hear. That's a promise. I will forgive. That's a promise. And I will heal their land. And oh man, when he said that, it's just, I lost it. And then I was happy for the rest of the time. And life went perfect after that. No. I started seeing a change. And that was my heart direction. As I was, and I started really working on reading again. And I've been asking God, my favorite prayer is, Jesus, what do you want me to know about this right now? And then I listen. It's amazing. Did you know God talks to you? It's not an audible voice, but he puts thoughts in your head, thoughts in your heart. And oftentimes they're the first thing that comes in when you ask them, because then you don't have the chance to come up with your own incredibly wise things. He just places them. It's his spirit talking to my spirit. And I love that. So I started asking God what he wants me to know about life's current status. And then I started reading. I started in Psalms, I think. And I was seeing all kinds of stuff that I hadn't seen before. And then I started reading in Proverbs. And it's just full of, it sounds like they're talking about today. And I thought, okay, that was my biggest beef that I had with getting into the Word every day, was, man, it's dry. It's like really working hard to do this. And it's more out of an act of a will than a real desire to do it. And the Lord started changing that because he started speaking to me. Started listening, I think is what it was. Ecclesiastes, I got excited again. Because later on in the book it says in Ecclesiastes 5, 8 and 9, this is from the Message. It says, don't be too upset when you see the poor kicked around and justice and right violated all over the place. That's today. Exploitation filters down from one petty official to another. I don't have to name names. There's no end to it, and nothing can be done about it. But the good earth doesn't cheat anyone. Even a bad king is honestly served by a field. You know, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. And I started seeing a little bit of a shift. See, I've been ignoring the regular media by and large and just watching independent stuff. But still, how do I know who to believe? We're still talking humans here. And the message that I was getting as I started really kind of closing in and focusing in on God was that I need to take my focus off what's going on around here, outside. You know, take it off the global and regional intentions and focus it on God's intentions. And that doesn't mean I ignore it, but it means I don't get caught up in it. Because I mean, I really started thinking, well, I started going and watching things and I started figuring, okay, what can I do to stand against what I see is pure evil and totally things totally against God's way of doing things. But then looking at scripture, don't be too upset when you see this happening. I don't know if this is making any sense to you. I prayed like everything coming down here and for the last week or so that what I had to say will minister to you. And so I'm trusting the Holy Spirit to do all of that. He's bigger than me, and he's much better looking too. So then I started remembering some scriptures, and I started looking at this. I said, okay, what am I supposed to think on now? Because you have heard that saying where, oh, he's so heavenly minded, he's no earthly good. You know, I mean, we're dealing with each other. We're dealing one human to another. And so we can't all just stand there and just, you know, change everything in our, try and focus our conversations with our neighbor to God all the time. Because, I mean, to your neighbor who doesn't know God, that means nothing. That's not relevant to him. My job as a Jesus follower is to make life relevant to him. And God is part of that. God is part of everything. I used to think, you know, as a performer, I would think, I'd put every song that I would sing into a sacred or secular category. And then if I'm booked to sing for a church gig, well then I gotta sing all gospel songs. If I'm booked to sing at the, I did a Masons convention one time. You know, and then you know, and God brought me up short. He says, you know, I'm in all of this. Any song, this is a bit of a rabbit trail, but any song that honors me and honors things that I have set up is a song that honors God. A song, that a love song about a husband and a wife that honors God. I would sing that in a church service. Probably wouldn't sing Salt Lick in a church service, but I might sing it before because things aren't so, they're not spiritual. Yeah. I remembered Philippians 4, 8, and 9, NIV says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put that into practice. And the promise, the God of peace, will be with you." I saw one time somebody had kind of given a bit of a definition or description of each of these things. And whatever is true, and that is authentic or real or lines up with God's word, that's true. Whatever's noble, royal and regal, kind, unrepulsive. Whatever is right, accurate, and appropriate. Whatever is pure, ethical, upright, honest. This is good stuff. Whatever is lovely, beautiful, stunning. I'd sing a song about a sunrise in church. Whatever is admirable, credible, or distinguished and commendable. Whatever is excellent, superb, exceptional, the best of the best. Whatever is praiseworthy has to do with God's ways, God's plan, and God's creation. So God is asking us for a refocus. And I got thinking, you know what, that is not going to make a bit of sense unless we understand right in here who God is and what he thinks of you, what he thinks of me. Because if we look at God as that big, hairy, hulking brute that has a big old stick in his hand, he's just waiting for you to mess up so, boy, I can just hit you again. A lot of people think that for all kinds of different reasons, but we know where they all come from, the father of lies. He wants to distort what God really is. He is a God of justice. He is a God of love as well. My oldest daughter was working, started at 17, working a really gentle career with Padernes, with the dirt crew, the earth crew, driving rock truck with about the crustiest, foul-mouthedest guys around. And she just never said a thing. Didn't go in saying, "Hey, I'm a Christian, so don't swear around me." They could tell just by her lifestyle that she was a good girl. And they told her, good girls never last in this outfit. They start, but then they fall. And she says, well, that ain't happening. And we watched for months. That kid could write a book on what she experienced and how God used her. And guys would finally, they come up to her and say, man, you are different. You don't get drunk. You show up, you're a woman of your word. You work hard. What in the world is up with you? And so she'd start answering questions, but she never knew the answer until God gave it to her. One time someone came up to her in the middle of everybody was in the dining room, the Atco trailer where everybody ate. And this guy sits down across from her and says, "Steph, If God is a God of love, like you say He is, how come bad things happen to children? I don't know what I would say. She told me later, she said, I had no idea what to say, but she opened her mouth, started flapping her gums, and Holy Spirit, bless His ever-loving heart, gave her the words. She says, okay, we'll just take for example, let's just assume for a minute that there is no God. Would bad things still happen to kids? And it was quiet. And someone from three tables away said, you know, she has a point. God filled her mouth with His word, His answers. And we noticed that all of these stories she'd come home with, there was no compromise, but there was no condemnation either. I think I got off on a bit of a tangent, but she understood who God was. That's where I was going with this. So if you're sitting here tonight and all your whole life, there ain't a whole lot of young people here. If your whole life you've seen God as that big hairy brute with the big stick, I dare you to put that aside and ask Him to show you what He thinks of you. Because none of this will make sense. You'll just sit there looking at all the crap that's going on in the world and just getting mad, getting bitter, getting apathetic. Oh, well, whatever. Being scared, spitless. That's your lot in life if you don't understand who God really is and what He thinks. So what does He think of you? I mean, we got all kinds of stuff. Jeremiah 29, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope. Oh, that's great. Hope and a future. Hope in the middle of what you see going on the boob tube. Hope. That's something we don't know as a society. That's something that you and I, as followers of Jesus, have in here to take out and live. You don't talk it. You live it. You live hope. Ooh, I'm getting excited. Joshua 1:5. Everybody knows this one. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses. God and Mo, they done a lot of things together. So I will be with you. Say it with me. I will never leave you or forsake you. Never. Psalm 139, we don't have time to go through it. But read that on your own. See, this is the cool thing. This will not only rescue you from that fear and that bitterness, that anger, all of that stuff, and that hopelessness. It'll actually reverse osmosisize it. It's a new word. It'll restore your peace and your contentment. And in so doing, it will draw everyone around you to the God who gives you that peace. Going full circle back to Ecclesiastes for the final word, the very last chapter. He says, and this is in the message, chapter 12, verses 12 to 14. But regarding any beyond this, dear friend, go easy. Take it easy. There's no end to the publishing of books, and constant study wears you out. So you're no good for anything. The last and final word is this. Fear God. Do what He tells you. And that's it. Eventually, God will bring everything that we do out into the open. And we includes them that's leading our society down the wrong path. God will bring that all out in the open in His time. And He will judge it according to its hidden intent. So my challenge to you, dear church, tonight is to refocus. What's your greatest fear right now? What's going on in your mind? Well, let's close our eyes, would we? Let's pray. And before we do that, I just want to ask, what is your greatest fear right now? What pops immediately into your mind? And I want you to stay with that thought for a minute. And now take your eyes off of the hopelessness of that situation. Hand it to God. And picture yourself just giving it to God and saying, Jesus, I'm too weak to handle this. In fact, you didn't even make me to handle this. You said, cast this burden on you. So just throw it at him. If you're angry, throw it at him. Drop it down, whatever way you wanna is going on. Hand it to God and ask Him for a trade. A big one, a trade that's in your favor. Ask Him to exchange your fear, your bitterness, your unforgiveness, your apathy, your hopelessness for His peace. I'll pray this blessing over you from John 14:27. It says, peace I leave with you. This is Jesus talking to you. My peace I give you. I don't give it to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Jesus, I pray this over these people. I pray this over every situation that they find themselves in, every situation that I find myself in, because I'm speaking to me. Lord, we give that to you. If we're mad enough, we throw it at you, because you're big enough to handle even our anger. We come to you with absolutely open hearts, open arms, and Lord, we crawl up on your lap and we say, please take this and give me peace instead. Help me to know how to refocus on you instead of my problems. In the name of Jesus, amen.